Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly favored? Are you flavored? Are you the salt of this world? Are you the light? Everyone said, I am the light. Would you turn to John 18, please? John 18. John 18. How are y'all enjoying your battles? Everybody say joyfully. One at a time, that's right, honey. One at a time. Choose your battles correctly. In John 18 and verse 28, is everybody there? Let's read this together, please. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to Praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. What a bunch of hypocrites. Then Pilate entered the Praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. This is very powerful because he's speaking in the arena of the kingdom not being of this realm, or what we call natural realm. His kingdom was not of this dimensional time. His kingdom was not a secular of the secular world system. Three areas that his kingdom was not. It was not of the natural. It was not of the dimensional time. And it was not of the secular world system. Because the kingdom of God is eternal. Never ending. Everyone say never ending. If his kingdom is eternal and it is never ending, it is from the future. Having a divine dimension of life available to everyone who believes. And I'm going to say this again. The kingdom of God is eternal. It is never ending. It is from the future. It has a divine dimension of life. And it is available to everyone who believes. And there's the area where God is requiring me and you to establish his kingdom. Establishing the kingdom. In Romans 14. Thank God we're not religious. It's kingdom business, isn't it? And in this time and age where we are right now, it is essential of establishing the kingdom. It's kingdom business. And there is a requirement, God says, And it's for me and you that we first must fulfill priesthood so kingship can be established in our life. And in this kingship is where we become warriors for this kingdom. And that's why it's so important to have the presence of God. And in Romans 14 and 16, would you read it with me? Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Hello. What is it? It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that must be established in the kingdom is the kingdom must be established in you. The kingdom cannot be established in this world unless the kingdom is first established in each and every one of us. So the kingdom must be established in a human host, carrying an everlasting kingdom, housing the anointing of the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. There's something I want to share with you which is very important. The devil sees you as you see you. I want to say this again. The devil sees you as you see you. Why? Because he can read your mind. So as you think and how you are, so you are. As a man thinks, so he is, right? So the devil can see. He sees you exactly as you see you. So if you see yourself as a loser and a wimp, that's what the devil sees you as. If he sees you as a woe is the measers, oh, woe is me. He sees you as that, and he's going to take advantage of everything he sees that what you see you are. That's why he's been on you, attacking you from the moment you were conceived in the womb. He's been speaking over the womb through individuals. Are you listening? Trying to cause you to see the way he wants you to see. Because he knows he sees you as you see yourself. So in this, there must be a change. How can the kingdom of God be manifested if you see yourself as a nobody? How can the kingdom of God be manifested? How can you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit if you see yourself as weak, feeble, broken down, an old jalopy? This is why the kingdom of God is not manifesting through individuals. Because the devil has people labeled and convinced of who they are when God doesn't see you that way. He sees you in another way. He sees you in the same anointing and power of Jesus Christ. But the devil doesn't want you to see that because he fears you. So if he can keep you in a state of delusion, he has you under his control. Has everybody got it? The devil sees you as you see you. Oh, hallelujah. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Again, the kingdom of God first must be established in each and every one of us. So you and I are now the hosts of the eternal kingdom. Don't try to figure it out. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. In verse 8. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Wait a minute. He's good to who? A few. Oh. How many times does the devil convince you that God wasn't good for you? Or He was holding something back from you? Because you're a bad person. God doesn't think that way. The devil does. The carnal man does. Because that's how we were brought up. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. His tender mercies are over all of His works. Those are His manifestations. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. To make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. His purpose for our creation is out of love. It's out of love. He has chosen us and brought us to His love. And He wants to express His love with power to the world, to overcome evil and the world's secular system. He wants to express His love through me and you with power to the sons of men, that they may know the love of God. And He does that by establishing His kingdom in us, and by expressing His power through us, bringing others into the love of His kingdom. Again, this is an everlasting kingdom, and it's established by love. Amen? By love. Go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 1. So grab hold that you were created by love. And the Bible says it's His desire to give you the kingdom. The enemy doesn't want you to think that way. In verse 1, what does it say? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a what? Covenant with my what? Chosen. Now you remember, the Bible says He chose you. You didn't choose Him. Boy, we have a hard time with that, don't we? Wait a minute. I called on you. I caused you to call on me. I chose you before the foundation of the world. I knew you wouldn't listen here or there until you fell and you really needed me. I caused you to call me because I would answer you before you called. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I want you to grab hold of this. If He's made a covenant with you, are you getting this? You didn't make a covenant with Him. He made a covenant with you because you are His chosen. He chose you. You didn't choose Him. You had nothing to do with this. We're a bunch of little idiots running around this planet trying to find out who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. We had nothing to do with this salvation. He predestined it. And when we weren't listening, He caused it. Why? Because he loves us so much. He stuck his eternal foot out from heaven and caused you to fall. So you tripped and you got boo-boo. And you looked up because nobody else could help. Oh, hallelujah. He says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David. Your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. Now, I want you to grab this because the seed he's talking about is Christ. He's talking about Christ, who is the seed who will be established on the throne forever. Now, are you his offsprings? Oh. Your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations, and the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Again, his kingdom now is established by covenant, not of works. His kingdom is established by covenant. So his purpose of establishing his kingdom and creation for me and you is through love. But his kingdom is established in the arena with me and you by what? Covenant. Not because of anything you did, but because of everything Christ did. The promise of covenant. Galatians 3. Establishing the kingdom. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to change tonight. I know y'all been wanting to change. I know I've been wanting to change. You can ask my wife that. In verse 15, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as to one, and to your seed, who is what? Christ. And this I say, that the law which has 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law do or serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through the angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ may be given to those who what? To those who what? Believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for faith, which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Jesus is the seed of the promise to establish the kingdom of God to his offsprings through inheritance. Has everybody got it? So, it has nothing to do with anything you've done. It's automatic. It's automatic. It's automatically established through covenant to you in establishing the kingdom of God through inheritance by the seed of Jesus Christ and you, his offspring. All things are added to you. Everything. Nothing is withheld. The only thing that withholds things from us is this. Your mind. Your belief system. It's the only thing that sets limitations on our life. Is right up here. Because as a man thinks, so he is. And the devil sees what you see. So if you see yourself as a nobody, he sees you the same way. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1:11. Let's read this together. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation too. In whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So you and I were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the established commitment to complete his work. It's God's established commitment to you that he's going to complete his work in you. He's going to complete his work in us to establish his kingdom in this dimension of space and time. And the purpose is to have an exit port to eternity for those who are not saved. So that you and I will be the exit port through his kingdom to those who are not saved. Nothing that you chose, everything that he chose. Predestined. All of this was predestined. Now, does the enemy come into play to try to get us astray? Of course he does. That's his job. That's what he does, and he does it well. He tries to always get us off course. But regardless of when you get off course, God causes you to stop. The off course doesn't last forever. Hello. Or none of us would be here. See, God only allows us to enjoy sin for a period of time. But he says, you know, you're mine. You must willfully turn your back and walk away and make that choice to never come back, to lose salvation. Because who you serve when you die is where you go. But you must make a willful choice not to accept the hand of God and the salvation of God. That's called blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Is everybody okay? So you and I were sealed by the Spirit in the area that God is saying, I'm telling you I'm going to complete my work in you. Even if you kick and scream all the way home. I get people that ask me, well, how many people make it after the program, after they come through the 9 months discipleship house? You know what I tell them? Everyone. They may go and eat dirt for a while, but they got enough truth in them to know that there's only one home. Eventually, they'll kick off that demon and say, Jesus, forgive me and help me, even if it's their last breath. But why wait to the last breath, man? Let's do it all the way. Why keep going the other way, man? You know, why have to keep shaking the dust off, you know? Why have to, you know, why always have to start over again? Let's just do it once. Go to 1 John chapter 4. You know, it's painful. I didn't say about making a mistake. I'm saying about breaking covenant. We make mistakes, but there's a difference when you break covenant with God. In 1 John chapter 4. I mean, nobody likes to make the mistake. Especially when you didn't realize you did. And somebody else has to tell you. Well, it's a humbling experience. But God gives grace to the humble. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He didn't tell you, listen, you must feel it. Listen, if you don't feel like he's in you is greater, then he's not. See, you got to remember something. Faith is vision. It's spiritual sight, isn't it? So you must see that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You know? So you see the Holy Spirit with boxing gloves on. Yeah. He waits for a demon to come up. Pow! So you can carry him anywhere you want. Where are we going to go and kick some butt tonight? Let's go destroy some of Satan's kingdom. Come on, Holy Spirit, where are we going? I'm down. I'm ready. I don't have to fear anything. Why? Because there's 1,000 angels on this side and there's 1,000 angels on that side. And every one of them can kill 180,000 people. So what am I worried about? Hello? See, when we begin to see ourselves in that arena, we change. But if you're constantly going to see yourself in your past, you're going to always go, oh, well, he who was in me used to be greater, but he must have left. Yes, God went on vacation. No. This is where we fall into these things because of the voice of agreement says, look, I got a brand new picture for you. And he shows you in bondage. He shows you of your past. He shows you of all of these things. He convinces you and gives you a flawed belief system so you have a flawed vision, perceptions. Has everybody got it? And then we begin to go, oh, yes, that's me. And the Lord's going, no, 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 that's not you. Let me email you a picture. Catch the anointing. There's a picture in there. It's really who you are. and says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, and for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Love who? One another. Go to verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Everyone say, I am, because he is. I am, because he is. Has everybody got it? You are because he is, and because you have covenant, his kingdom is being established one way or another. I am loved unconditionally. Everybody say that. His kingdom is established by his love in me through the covenant. I am the gift from the Father to the Son. Oh, hold on a second. Do you know that you are the inheritance to Jesus? Okay. If I am the inheritance to Jesus, the Father said, Son, I'm going to give you these kids. This is your inheritance for me because I love you. So I'm going to create a whole universe. I'm going to put all the stars and the moons and the planets and galaxies and all the things into this universe. And it's yours. This is your inheritance. And on this place called Earth, I'm going to create offsprings from you that will be your inheritance from me. And they will inherit everything from you. That means I can't do anything wrong. Hello? That means I can't do anything wrong. It doesn't mean I won't make a mistake. It doesn't. What that means is no matter what I have done, his love for me doesn't change. But the devil don't believe that way, does he? So many times I'm like, man, I don't know how you put up with me. It's because he looks at me and says, you can't do anything wrong. No matter what you do, it won't affect my love for you. You are the inheritance to Jesus. Listen, if I was to go buy a gift, right? And I wanted to give it to my child, I would want it to be perfect and right. I would want the gift to be pleasing and joyful to my daughter. Something that she would utilize and have something in remembrance and how much I love her. Well, that's what God created you for Jesus. That's why he created us. The problem is that we keep agreeing what the devil tells us, and as a man thinks, so he is, And so then the devil sees what you see and he attacks you in that. Because he doesn't want you to see who you really are. Because he fears you. So then there's something else that happens. Now you're not manifesting the kingdom of God because you don't think you can. Hello? It's all backed by love. We are his inheritance. I can do no wrong. Doesn't mean I won't make a mistake. But in his eyes, I'm perfect. Has everybody got this? I am perfectly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. The problem is we're not convinced. You know, we look in the mirror and go, man, you idiot. How'd you do that? How can you be so stupid and make that same mistake over and over and over? I'm going to tell you something. What really freed me, because I was saying that one day, and it was though the Lord, I was frustrated. And all of a sudden I saw in the Spirit the Lord show up at the end of the couch. And then he's sitting there, his legs were crossed. And he looked at me and said, Guy, what can you do that I can't? I said, nothing. He said, then your mistakes are my problems, not yours. Man, I got freed up. I was going, oh, Lord, forgive me. I didn't really mean to say that. I mean, I did mean to say that, but I said it, and I didn't want to, and I know I shouldn't have said it. Yeah. Okay. Are you done? Can I go a little further? No, it's already gone. See, we get so caught up in that emotional arena because we want to feel that God forgives us. We want to feel that He loves us. Hello? And not willing to believe that He came into the natural realm, put on flesh and died for us on the cross and got whipped, beat up and everything else. How much more love do we need? So then what happens is the enemy prevents us from establishing the kingdom in covenant because we lose sight of who we are. So we must change in how we see ourselves and know that we are children of the King. Everyone say, I'm a child of the King. I'm an offspring of the Anointed One. I am the carrier of the eternal presence, power, and truth, with inherited all dominion, power, and authority to establish His kingdom and open an eternal port to those who are lost, that they may receive what I have. Woohoo. Go ahead, you can say woohoo. I am because He is. And I'm not what He says. He chose me. I didn't choose Him. He gave me a covenant that I didn't want. He released His promises that I didn't know. And He's brought me to this place of time and season that I may know who I am in Him. Romans 8. Establishing the kingdom. Romans 8. Yes, now you can think about all those miserable days. You didn't have to be miserable. In verse 28, Romans 8, 28. Let's read this together. And we know what? That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So do you love God? Do you make mistakes? And whose problems are they? Yeah, we waste a lot of time going, woe is me. Verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also what? Predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son. Hello! You're not going to get away with it. You're going to conform whether He has to kill you. You're going to kick and scream all the way home, but you're going to conform no matter what. If you say, Lord, I love You. I need Your help. Forgive me. But you know, I really like doing it my way. Here goes that eternal foot out of the cloud of glory. Okay. All right, I'll do it Your way. And then we do it His way for a little while, and we start to drift. I'm going to, yeah, you know, it's been tough. I think I'll do it my way, just a little bit. Here we go. Whoa! There goes it. And we get up again. And He says, you can't escape My outstretched arm. And you're not going to run from My love. Because I love you to death. Listen to the word say, where can I hide from the presence of God? Right? Forget it. You're numbered. Let's read verse 29 one more time. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also what? He called. For whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Hello. He did this, not us. This was already predestined for me and you. Everybody got it? So some of us are going to have to go through the bushes, hit a few curbs, bounce off a few cars, squeeze through a few tight places, get caught in the rain, in the snow, you know, lose some shoes. Hello. Lose some hair. But everything's working to the good. Everything is working to the good. 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is what? For us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us what? All things. All things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for me and you. Let me tell you, if God's praying for you, something's going to happen. You don't think He answers His own prayer? He's the only one who can. Hello? So when you ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you, He is. Please help me pray. Pray through me and pray for me. I ask that every morning when I pray in tongues. He's praying for me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or stupidity? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as a sheep for the slaughter. But the next verse, yet, and all these things, we are more than conquerors. Come on, this is not carnal stuff. How many times have you seen yourself as losing the battle, as being defeated, as not being a conqueror, of wondering where he who's in you is supposed to be greater than he who's in the world? It's because as you think, so you are. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, everyone say I'm persuaded, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created creeping thing shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God in which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So nothing can separate you from His love or from being conformed into His image. You can run, but you can't hide. He's going to get you. Working to the good, we are more than conquerors. We are called to be joint heirs. That means if we're called to be joint heirs, we are co-laborers. He desires to walk with you. He desires us to walk with Him. We are to joint heirs with inheritance. We are co-laborers and we are friends of God. See, religion is without relationship. Where there's relationship, there's friendship. Then there's co-labor. Amen? Go to John 15. John 15. In verse 14. And we'll start at 12. Oh, okay, 11. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may what? Remain in you. And that your joy may be what? Full. That the joy would remain in you and that your joy would be full. Why? Because joy, full of joy, is full of life. Didn't mean you wouldn't make a mistake. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. These things I commanded you, that you love one another. I mean, what a fulfillment of Scripture. Friends, to manifest His kingdom with fruits of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. where His kingdom is continually established through these things of gifts and fruits, backed by the love. Go to Mark 16. Mark 16. Is everybody there? In verse 16, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they are what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Why? Because they're establishing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not just word or deed, but in power. He says, you're going to cast out devils. You're going to speak with new tongues. You're going to allow the gifts to manifest through you. You're going to allow the fruits of the Spirit to manifest through you. The gifts of the Spirit. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it won't by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and what? They will recover. They're going to recover. These are signs that will follow believers. Why? Because these gifts are going to manifest the love of God. It's the love of God. They are signs for the unbeliever. And this is where God is bringing us to, in the arena of manifesting these signs. Signs will follow. Gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit. You're a sign. But there's something that's very important before we can even get to manifesting these arenas of the gifts and the fruits and so forth and in establishing the kingdom of God. There must be an area, and in Acts chapter 2, this is vital. And I've got a lot more, but praise God. In Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them a very powerful word, repent. 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 Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children, to all afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So when He calls, it means He's chose you. Now He's saying something. Listen, I want to establish my kingdom in you and through you. But there's something that you must maintain. Pure heart and clean hands. Pure heart and clean hands. So that arena of repentance must be established. In this arena of repentance, you must forgive. You must forgive. You must release unforgiveness to individuals. You must turn. Has everybody got it? You must turn from wickedness. You must repent, forgive, forget, and go forward. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an essential gift of God. It is a promise. That's why praying in the Spirit is essential. But many people don't even think they're worthy of it because they can't see themselves baptized in the Holy Spirit. But in some instances, there might be an area where there's unforgiveness or bitterness. So we must repent, forgive, get back in position, and go forward. Because God's not going to give up on you, even when you give up on Him. And we'll kick and scream all the way home until we cooperate. He wants to give you the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom, and everything. But there's that area that we go in cycles when we want to do it our way. You know, in that humanite state of being. We'd like to be comfortable. If it doesn't feel comfortable, I don't like it. God is always going to get you out of a comfort zone into a desire zone and a desire for His presence. So you must forgive, forget, move on. And know that He loves you unconditionally, because you can't do anything about your past anyways. Remember, the kingdom of God is from the future. It's not from the past. It's from the future. So we operate in the things of the future now, not in the past. But the enemy wants to paint that picture of the past. Don't let him paint it. Forgive. Hold nothing towards anyone. Let it go. So somebody did you wrong. Somebody offended you. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. So what? Don't let it affect your walk with your King. It's amazing in how many times we let other people's affect us. Stop it. It doesn't do any good. It just keeps you miserable. And then you keep seeing yourself miserable. And the devil sees that you're miserable, and he feeds you miserable food. So you stay miserable. He keeps you in a doubt position, or an unbelief position, an unbelief state. That's what he does. He does it very well. The choices that we make are always before us. Amen. Like I said, I have a lot more, but I'm not going to go there. We'll continue on. And we want to start practicing activating the gifts of the Spirit. But there are some foundations that need to be laid before we go there. And in this, there must be a repentant heart. Everything is operated through the kingdom by love. So let's take out the stony heart. Let's get love, let's forgive, let's forget, let's move forward and come in unity in the Spirit, that we can work as one body, kicking butt on the enemy, opening the port of eternity, and healing those who need healing, whether through mind, through physical body, financial, whatever it is. Let's stop building our own empire and build the kingdom. Amen? Praise God. Lift our hands to heaven. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. And again, we ask for your forgiveness of every area that we have rebelled, fought against you, and every area that we have doubted you and rejected your love. For your love for us is unconditional. Man, how stupid can we be and still breathe sometimes? We ask that you'll wipe away the images of what the devil has placed of who we are, and bring to us the image and likeness of your Son. Not just to serve you, but to please you as being joyful children, knowing who we are, and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah!